I'd like you all to know this morning that I gained 15 or 20 minutes credit last week. You know, when you're called on to preach a short sermon, I do a little arithmetic in my head and figure out how much more I can go over on another week. So here we go. Not really. You're safe. We're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 5, if you'd like to turn there in your Bibles. I'd like to relate just a little bit of my story. Not everyone knows my story and ministry stories, but I'd like to go back clear to the beginning. And it's been a lot of years ago, but the early ministry in Salmon, Idaho, where we started in full-time ministry. And we were called there by a mission organization, Westland Bible Mission, and asked to start a church, organize the church that had been a Bible study for about 5 years. So we were young people, 24, 25 years old, and asked to start a church. And it was a very steep learning curve. You go to school, you get your training and so forth, but then putting it into practice. And I'd never gone through a constitution, bylaws of a church. I'd never done that sort of thing. But God brought alongside some mature Christian guys that we walked through all that, and we did get it going. And after a few years, I thought we were doing pretty well. And I had gotten comfortable in preaching. We met in the American Legion Hall over there. We didn't have a building. But after a few years of preaching and leading Bible studies in the outlying areas, that degree of confidence was being built up. However, God brought alongside a fellow by the name of Steve, who asked if he could accompany me each week and go up to Ledore and have a Bible study up there an hour away. Sure, come on. And you know what he did? He was very comfortable with me then. He was a friend. And he started picking apart my sermons. You know what? I didn't feel really good about that. I felt a little bit threatened. I felt a little bit angry at times. Fortunately, he was a mature Christian guy. And he was looking for something. And I didn't know what it was. And so I was feeling humiliated each week driving up to Ledore. Not all of the drive was pick, 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 but you know, when you're being picked on, it feels like the discomfort takes much longer than it actually does. We moved to Spokane from Salmon after a few years. We were there 6.5 years. And we moved up to Spokane, and I was given a book to read, and I bought the book by Haddon Robinson, who is, at that time, he was at Denver Seminary. And it was called Biblical Preaching. And when I read that, I said, that's what Steve was looking for. That's it. That's what he kept asking me for. That when I'd preach a sermon, I gave him background, I gave him facts, I gave him all these lessons out of the Bible that I thought would be appropriate, but it wasn't hitting the mark as far as Steve was concerned. And this book brought out, answer the question, so what? So there's all these facts, so what? And Steve kept picking at me, answer this question. How are we going to deal with what you're teaching us? How do we get something from this and live it out? And, you look back at those early years and kind of glad I wasn't in my church. But when I was a youth leader, youth pastor, earlier years, I'm kind of glad those first couple of years I wasn't in my youth group. You know, you just didn't know enough. But it was very humiliating, and it was something that God wanted to teach me. and I'm still growing in that. But this morning, we are going to be retracing our steps that we began last Sunday at the park. The lesson is important enough to go over it twice. So we are in 1 Peter chapter 5. What was the verse last week? Cast all your cares on Him because He cares for you. Well, that's the end verse for this morning. We're going to start at verse 5. Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you. Heavenly Father, we come to this passage, and it may be familiar to many, but Lord, we have a need to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we pray that today You would stir up our thoughts, our minds, help us to gird up the loins of our mind, as Peter says, and gird them up for action, that we might follow through in obedience to You. But lead us along by Your Spirit, using Your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to walk through this, and it starts with young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. There's a reason to be submissive. Young men, or young people, or those that are young in the faith, the young ones, be submissive to those who are older. Older in age because of their experience in the faith. But in particular, and some of you may have this in your Bibles, in reference to elders especially. Submit to those who are older, to those who are elders. That's a position in the church, leaders in the church, because they have God-given responsibilities. What is it that we look to our elders for? What do you look to your elders that are leaders in the church? What do you look for to them for? What do you want to see? One of the things is that they are to teach and provide the expression, the examples of good teaching. Provide good examples in character. And you look to the elders for that. Be submissive to them because they are leading you by example. They're leading you in their teaching. They are knowledgeable. They've lived in the faith. They know how to handle circumstances. And also, they have a primary responsibility before God. And this one's a tough one. A person doesn't take on leadership in the church lightly, because Hebrews chapter 13 says that they are to give an account for your souls. Wow. I'm surprised sometimes when I call on people, and perhaps I haven't been to your house yet, but I like to do that and get to know you. But one of the things, the responses of people, sometimes when I knock on the door, ring the doorbell or whatever, and they open the door, oh, it's Pastor Brian. Do you want to come in? Is there something wrong? What's happening? I just want to gain some insight from you, what's going on in your lives, and find out any difficulties, anything for prayer that we can be holding you up. But there's always in the back of my mind that I, as an elder in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, must give an account for you. That's why our elders call periodically, and you get a call from them. How are things going? I'm just calling to check up on you. And a person might think, this is a nervous conversation because I don't know what I'm supposed to say. Just, what's going on? We just want to keep in touch. We want to know what your concerns are. We want to know family dealings, like even the joys of a great-granddaughter being born, and oh, we're so tickled about that. But there's also the things of, man, a daughter-in-law has cancer. Oh, wow. Well, that must weigh heavily on you. And so we pray. But those sorts of interactions are to take place because there's a reason to be submitting to your leaders, to the older, to the elders, as the Bible says, the older, because they give an account for you. In the same way, young people, be submissive as the leaders are to God. We back up a little bit, and if you weren't here a couple of weeks ago, we went over verses 5 or chapter 5 and verses 1 through 4, and it talks specifically to the leaders. And one of the phrases it uses is serve as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. We're under God's authority. And be submissive then, young people, younger in the faith, younger as far as age goes. You have a lot of experience yet ahead of you. But be submissive to those who are older and follow the Lord. Be submissive because the leadership also are submissive to God. Some of you still have kids at home. And I would like to encourage you, not just lay down the law regarding this is what you do in our house, but we are trying to form character in our kids by telling them, I am disciplining you, or I'm guiding you, and I'm teaching you to do things this way because I too am under authority. I am under authority, and God is my boss. And so, kids, as your parent, I want to teach you, as God is teaching me, that when you get older, you will be recognizing that you too are under God's authority. And so, leadership in the church has not attained a position where they can say, I've reached it. This is as far as I need to go. It's in a position where they say, I can't do this unless God leads me. Under His authority, under His direction, I can take a responsibility in the church. So in the same way, be submissive. Leaders must obey the Lord as servants obey a master. And then we also, what I'd like to do in this, in breaking this down, is refer several times here to how Jesus responded. Because Jesus also gave the example in John chapter 6 and verse 38. He was often questioned or ridiculed that you're just doing things on your own. And what the Pharisees, this is all background stuff here, but the Pharisees and the leaders in Israel would refer to an educated person as one who had gone through their rabbinical, their school of their rabbis. And they had learned from the masters of their religion. What could they say about Jesus? He didn't go to any of their schools. And so he was being ridiculed for being uneducated and yet leading these huge crowds of people. And so he was questioned, by what authority do you say that? By what authority do you do these things? We don't see your authority except by what you do. And Jesus said in John chapter 6 and verse 38, for I have not come down from heaven to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me, to do the will of the Father who sent him. Jesus, when he was on earth, placed him under the authority of God the Father. He was doing all that he did, all his teaching, all his miracles, under the authority of his Father who sent him. I don't do anything of my own will. I do what pleases the Father. And we're told that the disciples are not greater than the Master. So Jesus submitted himself to his Father. What an illustration for us. Where are we going to go with that? We are to submit also. Submission is very important. And to those who are younger, it says, submit to those who are older. But then it goes on. Humility is commanded for every believer. What does it say? All of you. Oh. Well, I put a little note after this. Did I put it on there? Yes. Get ready to take a step down. Are you ready? This is going to hit us. That all of us are to be submissive. It says, then clothe yourselves with humility. Clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Okay, so first of all, clothe yourselves. This word clothe is tied very closely to the word in the Bible that speaks of an apron, a servant's apron. They would put on an apron to go serve at the table, to go and split wood. They'd put on their apron, their working clothes, and they'd put on this apron. So now you clothe yourselves similarly. Get ready to work. Peter back here in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13. It says, therefore prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled and set your hope fully on the grace to be given you. Prepare your mind for actions. And how many of you have the King James translation? Does anyone have that? What does it say? Gird up the loins of your mind. Yeah, get ready to work. Get ready to run. Get ready to take care of business. Hard work ahead of you. So gather up your gowns. You can't have them dangling around your feet. Gird up the loins of your mind. Prepare it for action as well. The NIV has it. So get ready. But what it's saying, put on the servant's apron. Get ready to serve. This is going to be a likeness to Christ when we get ready to serve this way. What did Jesus do in John chapter 13? He was in the upper room. He's with his disciples, and it tells us that he loved them, and he loved them to the end, and he did something. He took off his robe, and what did he do? He wrapped himself with a towel, a servant's apron. He wrapped himself with a towel, and then he took a basin of water, and he took the lowest roll that would be in the household, and he took their feet and he washed them. Who was this man that was washing feet up there in the upper room? He's the Creator. He's the God of all power, authority, willing to be a man. He humbled himself and became a servant. And he wrapped himself in this towel. He put on the servant's apron. And that's what we're told to do. Clothe yourselves with humility. Be willing, instead of promoting ourselves, be willing to take the low roles, if we see them that way. Be willing to serve. In Jesus' day, it was a lot like today. Self-assertion was admired. It was honored. It was rewarded. If you assert yourself, you will get what you want. If you humble yourself, you're just a rock to kick along the path. Everyone's going to be kicking you. So assert yourself. Say, you can't do that to me. I'm this and that and the other thing. You know what? That same kind of thing is honored today too, isn't it? People impress others. Promote yourself. If you don't promote yourself, no one else will. In fact, a godly man that I look up to very much said something like that, but he was joking. But at a pastor's conference, he had books to sell. And so he is going to tell us, all of us that were attending that conference, that he had those books and he wanted them to sell. And he said, the 11th commandment you may not know. It says, blow your own horn, for no one shall do it for thee. And so he was bringing out the fact that he had books to sell. But that's really not a commandment. In fact, the other is, clothe yourselves with humility. Clothe yourselves. Be willing to take a less significant role. Do things without seeking the praise of people. In fact, what happens if we seek the praise of people? Will we get praise of people? Probably so, yes. What happens to the eternal reward that we do for our submissive service? There is none. In Matthew chapter 6, when Jesus was talking in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, do your acts of righteousness. If you do your acts of righteousness before men to receive the praise of men, that is your reward. But if you do your acts of righteousness, not seeking the people's reward, your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And so here it says, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Yeah. He withholds reward to the proud, but he gives grace, an eternal reward to the humble. Some of the grace for the humble is a strength to endure. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, you know the story? Paul was hampered in his ministry by a thorn in his side, is what he called it. And we don't know what that was. But he had some sort of pain, something that limited what he could do. And he prayed 3 times that God would take it away. And God came back with another kind of an answer. What was that? But he said unto me, Paul said, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength, God says to Paul, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. And so Paul said, most gladly, therefore, will I delight, I'll take pleasure in, I'll be happy for distresses, for persecutions, for envyings, for insults, whatever comes my way. Because when I am weak, then I'm strong. It's not my strength that's accomplishing anything, it's God's. And so this grace is that God provides what we need. God fills in the blanks, and we're enabled to produce kindness and generosity and thankfulness and on and on and on. God will provide that. But we're not trying to promote ourselves. Therefore, this is what we are to do. Verse 6 and 7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. See, God doesn't leave this to chance. It's God's mighty hand. Humble yourselves under God's mighty hand. One of the ways he humbles us is discipline. He disciples us, but he disciplines us. Back a few pages in Hebrews chapter 12, God talks about this. The Bible mentions discipline. And he says in verse 5, you have forgotten, Hebrews 12 verse 5, and you have forgotten that word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. Do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves. He punishes every son he or everyone he accepts as a son. So endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 10, it tells us God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. So first of all, what do? Bow the knee to the Lord's will. It's the submission of heart. Humble yourselves under God's mighty hand. Bow the knee to the Lord's will. That's the picture of someone standing before a king and accepting what the king desires to give him. And accept God's discipline, which produces the growth, that he may lift you up in due time. Lift you up at the right time, in due time. The Lord Jesus was mistreated by men. God the Father allowed him to be put on trial, to be beaten. And in Philippians chapter 2, it says that Jesus came, but he did not retaliate against men. Instead, he made himself a servant. Being made in the likeness of man, he was made a servant. But then, through all of that and through all the crucifixion, there came a time that God made that right. And he said in Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, therefore God highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That he may lift you up in due time. How's the Lord going to lift you up? If you say, God, I'm going to suffer from people if I humble myself and people can do whatever they do with me, what am I to expect? What can I do? And the Bible tells us, Romans 8:18, our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Oh, you have a plan for me down the road. You're with me now, but there's going to be a lifting up. Humble yourself under God's mighty hand that he may exalt you. He may lift you up in due time. And what's coming is not even worthy of comparison with the glory that God's going to reveal in us. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17 tells us, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Any of the trouble that we have, humble yourself, and you will be greatly rewarded. Any trial you go through is going to be greatly rewarded. He gives grace to the humble, and he lifts us up in due time. So we cast all our cares or all our anxiety on him because he cares for us. So our questions might be, who will care for me if I don't stand up for myself? Who will settle the score when I've been wronged? Who will keep me sane when I'm persecuted and insulted? Who's going to keep me from just going off the deep end, retaliating? Well, did God the Father care for Jesus? Yes. Did he lift him up? Yes. Did he rise from the dead? Yes. Did he exalt him to the highest place? Gave him a name that is above every name? Yes. If you are in Christ, you're in him. When you receive Jesus into your life, you say, Jesus came in me. But what God did was he placed you also in Christ. All of Christ's identity is your identity. All of Christ's merits are accounted to you personally. In God's eyes, you are in Christ, a haven, a place of comfort, a place of strength. The love and care. And so in 2 Thessalonians, the conclusion of this says, we pray this, so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you, and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the grace of God is the reward for intentional humility. Intentionally saying, I am not going to promote myself. I am going to express a confidence as I submit to God that God is going to bring his purposes about. God is going to use my life to build up his kingdom. God is going to use me to identify who Jesus is to somebody else. Boy, the grace of God in action. The grace of God is the reward for intentional humility. I'd like for us to pray. And I have a song that we're going to say. We're not going to sing a song today in closing. But let's pray. Heavenly Father, this doesn't set well with the American mindset. But your word is for us here in America, in Garden Valley, as well as in nations all around the world, that we should be humbling ourselves before you, acknowledge you as the author of life, as the one who designed our lives, and desire to fulfill your purpose. Even as Jesus, who is our Master and Lord, came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Work that out in our lives too, that we might know him more and more, and that by your Spirit we might exhibit him more as well. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you for your provision in Jesus' name. Amen.